The scripture we're going to read today is from Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is a great, powerful text, a text that should encourage us no matter how difficult our circumstances, no matter how hard things are, life is, relationships, the challenges we face. Philippians is a letter written by a gentleman named Paul who is imprisoned wrongly. And yet, throughout the letter, it's like on every verse, there's this joy, even in spite of his circumstances, even in spite of where life with God has led him into a very dark place. But he doesn't stay there. He still encourages the hearts of others. And I'm grateful for that because of that heart, that pastoral heart he had, we have this letter some almost 2,000 years later. And so I hope you're encouraged by it. I hope you're challenged by it. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your amazing, amazing love. We pray that you would take these words that written in a very dark, difficult place, that we would find hope in them, that we would know of you and your Son and what you have for us. Change us from the inside out. May this word be more than just words on a page or words on a screen. May they touch our hearts. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Next few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about what's your story? What's your story? What has God done in you and your life? See, many of us sometimes just kind of discount our story. I'm encouraged every week that I get a chance to be here with you. And when I see these flags, I know there's so much more than the stories represented here. But there are stories. Some of you had very, very difficult beginnings. Some of you are in a season now where you're just trying to get through the day. It's very difficult. The challenges you have faced and the challenges you're going to face, how is God going to use that? What's your story? Do you think that God isn't done with you? Do you think God can still use you? What you think about who God is and what you think about how good God is will directly impact the answer to those questions I asked you. So who is this God? Who is this God that thought of you before you were born? That imagined you before you took your first breath? That has walked with you, especially in the hard times, in the times you couldn't see him, in the times you didn't feel him, he was there. And even in spite of that, how can God use your story? Now, what's your story isn't just about you, see? And that's some of the challenges we all face. Some of the challenges when it comes to what's our story is we do think it's all about us. This book here is about God and his story, and what God's going to do and what he has been doing and is going to keep doing. And our story is how we connect with where he put us in this thing called time. And now how we walk with him. How we connect with him. And how God wants to use you and me so others can know him as well. So what's your story? He has given you a story for you to share with others. If someone was to ask you about Christianity, oh, that's a lot there. Now, if you've had a really good church experience most of your life, if you've never really had any major challenges when it comes to local church, well, you've been very blessed. But that's usually not the case for most people. But if you have, you might have, well, Christ, what do you mean Christianity? God loves us. He proves it by sending Jesus, and now we get to be with him forever. What's the big deal? And yet there's so many people that have experienced such tragedy, such suffering, such injustice. They can't even imagine a God that would let that happen. So before you get to defending your faith or defending Christianity, maybe begin by just being present and listening to them. Hearing about their story. Have they come to be there? What brought them to this point? Why are they so angry? Not so you can try to defend anything, but maybe you can introduce them to this one person named Jesus. See, it's not about Jesus. It's not about, defending anything. It's about this relationship with Jesus. Some people, when they hear the word Jesus, it cuts them. Like they feel like, you got to bring him up again. Now, think about this. Because all they know is pain from when that name is mentioned and their experience with it. Now that's not, if that was the Jesus I knew, that they knew, I wouldn't be talking about Jesus. But that's not the Jesus I know. And I hope that's not the Jesus you know. But you need to know what your story is. So when God, in those unexpected moments, brings someone into your life and into your world, you know what? Let's tell me more. Let's talk about this. I think we sometimes miss that the Lord has given us an unfair advantage. And you know what that unfair advantage is? It's himself. It's Jesus. We get into discussing what Christianity is and isn't. We get into discussing what the church has done and hasn't done, all the things, the good and the bad and the ugly. And we miss what's really the most important thing. Jesus. It really does come down to just that. There's a great writer, if you're into books, Donald Miller, has been a voice, if you will, last probably 20 years, that has just written more and more about those that have, he has journeyed and met and experienced, even in his own life, of the struggles with a lot of times Christianity and the local church. He says, I love Jesus, and I know that I'm supposed to love the church, but sometimes I don't. He goes, they're just sometimes just some mean people. And I said, I'm like, ooh, yeah, that is sometimes the case, isn't it? Donald Miller, though, says that he went to a college. He was speaking at this university, and it was a Christian college. And he says, I'm going to tell you what. I want to share with you the story of Christianity. I want to give to you all the big moments, all the big things, but I'm going to intentionally leave out one thing. It's a big one. And when I'm all done, we'll see if you guys can pick it up. And so he goes. It's about 20 minutes. He goes through all the highlights. Various letters in the Bible, various moments in church history, major turning points in world history. And he gets to the end, and everyone's like, no, you covered it. I mean, they got all fancy words in there, like gospel. Okay, they're talking about different theologies. They're going through all the big stuff. And they're like, no, you got it all. And he's like, you don't think I missed anything? And they're like, no. When it got to the end, they had never mentioned Jesus. They gave a great history on Christianity, except for the main character. The whole group that was there missed it. And it sounded really good. I mean, they had scripture they quoted. They mapped it out. And many times when we're talking with someone and someone shares a pain, a struggle, they're in a transition. They got real life challenges and questions. And we try to defend. We try to convert. When we should just be saying, God, how do they need to meet your son Jesus in this? How can you meet him or her right here, right now? What can I do to help with that? Sometimes the best thing is to say a fine chosen word. Sometimes the best thing you can say is absolutely nothing. And that's where this thing called wisdom plays a big part. And you just have to pray and you have to trust. Not looking for divine signs, not waiting for the clouds to part and the light to shine on my face like from here, but to just say, Lord, what do you want to do here? Use me. And not be surprised when he does, because he loves using you and me for what he's doing. But a lot of times we forget that Jesus really is what it's all about. I know that there was a panel assembled, and they have all the major religions, and they were focused on what does your religion say about how to get to heaven, and what does your religion say about what to deal with the terrorist challenges that we face in this world today? And had all these distinguished people on there, all these really highly respected people from the Islamic community, from the Jewish community, from the Christian community. And then there's this one pastor named Carl, Pastor Carl. And so they do all these fancy introductions, and they get to Carl, and the person emceeing it totally forgot his name, no titles. And we have him, and he's like, my name's Carl. And they're like, yeah, Carl, give it up for Carl. And so they're going through, and what is your, and they're given all these nice expositions in the Islamic tradition. The Quran is, you know, it's the will of God. That's how you get to heaven. In the Jewish tradition, it's, you know, well, there's a lot of kind of things there that, you know, really doesn't say a lot. There's a lot of kind of unknown. So we really try to focus more on this life here and now. And then there was a good Catholic priest who goes and speaks about kind of the history of that and how we, if you will, get to heaven. And they get to Carl. And Carl goes, I don't know. I don't know if my religion really tells you how to get to heaven. Wait, what? Carl, do you want to say that again? Because that doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's kind of why you're here, is why you're invited. He says, no, it's really about Jesus and how Jesus wants us to be with him forever, yeah. But it's not about anything we have to do. It's just about receiving his free gift. It's about grace. It's about trusting in him and being with him forever. They're like, oh, I'm not sure what to do with that, but okay. And then they go to the terrorist thing, and they go through the thing. And his answer for the terrorist thing, I think you might find interesting. Because, again, the different traditions are having their says. They get to Carl, and they're now kind of going, what's he going to say? And Carl goes, you know, he'd probably become friends with them. Because he had two of them in his group of 12. And they're like, okay, Carl, what are you doing here? And he's like, he befriended them. He had two of them that were just wild cards, tax collector, financially terrorist, absolutely working with the ones who are dominating Israel, a cohort in crime, if you will. And then you had the zealot who was trying to overthrow Rome, physical ways, if you will, with the sword. And he discipled them and loved them. Interesting, we never find a prayer they pray to convert them. Crazy. Nothing wrong with praying a prayer to say, Lord, I surrender to you. And in fact, many of us are here because of that. But Jesus is more about wanting them to know him and follow him and walk like he walked, to be a representative, to represent in a way that was in alignment, congruence with Jesus. You and I have times where we don't have to say anything to hurt someone. We can give them a look, can't we? Come on. You know your mom or your grandma, when you were a little one, could give you a look, didn't have to say a word, and you were like, your hand was out of the cookie jar, and you just started walking backwards. You did. It's true that those moments can just, we can hurt someone without even speaking a word. Our hearts have brokenness in them. Our hearts, without walking with Jesus, without knowing him, we just can't make it. Over time, it'll just get harder and harder. And that broken pieces will then become just one solid brokenness. And that's what I feel that most people have had an experience with the local church. That it hasn't been good because those broken parts, instead of being healed through them, we've kind of kept them away from Jesus. Kind of said, Lord, Jesus, you can have any part of me, but that part, that's my closet. We're going to keep that nice tucked away. And over time, it grows and spreads. First time I ever had that aha moment was on a retreat. There's something about, I love our choir, and God bless, we have a wonderful choir director, but she's a little small, and, vertically challenged. Okay, and so the choir's trying to look at me and listen, and I'm like peeking around. Anyway, I'll pull it up for you, I will, because she, you know. Okay, diddle-doo, back here. God, you guys are put up with me. The challenge, when it comes down to it, when we're in, like, God will sometimes change our geography to change our heart. Sometimes we have to get out of our normal routine for God to mix things up. And so I was invited to go on this retreat. It was a renewal. In fact, if you haven't heard, there's a renewal next month for the ladies. They're going to have a wonderful time, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But this geography, this location, allowed me to hear about this Jesus like I never heard before. And here I am hearing about this Jesus who loves me. And I went, well, I don't know. I mean, if he knew me, I don't know if I like me, let alone love me, and he loves me. Come on. And then what made it all come together was seeing a group of people who truly loved like Jesus. Seeing it in the faces, seeing it in their words, hearing it in their words, seeing it in their actions, and knowing, oh my gosh, Jesus, now I get it. Now I get it. It was that aha moment for me that I realized life was so much bigger than what I knew and so much bigger than what I had understood. And because of the grace, the heart of love that I experienced through the people and the teaching from God's word blew me away. That is what our unfair advantage is, because no one can argue that. No one can argue your interpretation. It's your story. So what's your story? What has God done in your life? How has he brought you into his family so that others may come to know the joy, the love, and the goodness of God? So, a couple things I have to share with you. Expect the unexpected. It could be a conversation with someone at work. It could be a conversation walking your dog in your neighborhood. Expect the unexpected. When that happens and you're going, okay, they're having questions, they're in need. This is that fancy word that a lot of times it's used, and they have a whole genre of music called gospel, right? That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying bad news, I'm just saying not what I'm talking about. But share with them the good news. That's what that word means. Share with them who this Jesus is. Now, one of the things that if you will, that I think is important, and that people will ask more from you, is when it goes back to what Paul is telling this church. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Oh, that's good. Worthy of Christ. Worthy. So in other words, when people see you, do your actions and your words match up? Do your actions and God's word match up? How are you living out this walking after Jesus? Isn't it amazing at times when you were a child, if you knew your parents, when you were a child, they would say something, and as a child, you probably more teenage years, you were annoyed by it. your dad would always make the same joke, and you're like, oh, come on, Dad, that's not funny. And then you found yourself years later making the same jokes, and you're like, oh. But again, Dad wasn't there, or uncle, or mom, whatever, whoever it was. So you kind of just kept it to yourself. You didn't really tell anyone about it, but you're like, whoa. And then you get the family together, and you hear the joke again, and you're like, oh, I've been doing that joke. My dad, one of his favorite was, he said, did you get your hair cut? I said, yeah, I got my hair cut. He said, you didn't get them all cut? Like, yes, Dad, I got them all cut, yeah. And so now I do that with my girls. And now that Aliana's approaching that tween age, you know, almost teenager, she's starting to roll. We had if you were here with us, able to join us last week, we had our family, the Floyd family from Mexico, that longtime partners, missionaries, share about their journey. And in the second service, I don't sit up here. We kind of have a band. And so I was helping up with some mic things up there, and I just want to make sure things were all set up there. And so I go up to our audio-video place, and one of their children's there is up there. And it's this teenage girl who's, again, probably, you know, 14, 15. And mom and dad have this, you know, one of their slides says, Ola in the snow, right? And they're talking to me, you know, hey, you might not think of snow. And so they're doing a thing. And she's like, oh, they embarrass me so much, right? And I'm like, okay, keep it together. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, that's just so true. You know, you're laughing, you know. Isn't it true, though, that we become a little bit more and more like our family? The apple doesn't fall too far from the, exactly. And so as we walk with them, we become more like them. As we walk more and more with Jesus, guess what? We become more like him. People ask you about where you seem to have a joy, or you just seem to just have a peace. That's your opening. So walk in a manner worthy. And then he says, stand firm. Don't be afraid to speak what God has done in your life, to share your story. In other words, be bold. Bold for who you are in him because, right? Because we know how to share our faith in three easy steps. Well, maybe not. But we know how to defend Christians. No, that's not right. We solve the problem of original. Okay, dang, maybe that's not it. No, we're bold because we know Jesus. Not because of all the fun facts, not because of all the cleverness of our arguments. Because of what Jesus has done in our heart and our life. It's an unfair advantage. When we strive to answer and defend and convert, guess what? We lose that unfair advantage. Let's not forget who we are and who he is. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance to come and be with your family. This is just a small gathering when it comes to thinking of your church family worldwide. But Lord, all around the world today, people are gathering in your name to hear a fresh word from you, to encourage the hearts of others, to be reminded that we need to walk worthy in the way of Jesus, that we need to strive together, that the local church isn't just this location, isn't just this place we go to, it's who we are together in you. And Lord, there's going to be those moments where things really just feel great when we're in the local church. And we praise you for that. Whether it be because of where we serve, whether it be because of the people we're sharing life with and doing life together, maybe over a cup of coffee with a Stephen minister or in a Bible study. Lord, we praise you and thank you for those moments. But Lord, there's some of us in here that we're here because we feel we have to be here, because we had to be here. Let's leave it at that. May they come to know your son, Jesus, and how it's all about him. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for your generosity. may we walk in your ways. Call to worship, Lord. And we do our call, we have our confession. We need forgiveness and we need to forgive others. And so, Lord, give us courage to not just believe in you, but to suffer for you. And some of that challenge is sometimes owning our stuff and saying, I am sorry. And so, Lord, give us the courage to do that this week. Anything that you put on our hearts, Lord, help us to have that courage to follow you and to trust that you're big enough to help us through it. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ in our community at The Grove and Palm City Presbyterian, Any River, but all our brothers and sisters. We pray for your church universal that we would reflect your light and your love. Give us words. Help our actions. Give us wisdom to know when to speak, when to listen. But through it all, help us to love. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those who have been called to step up and serve. And we pray that you'd give them wisdom beyond their years. Give them courage to follow where you lead. We thank you, Lord, for those leaders at the local level in our community here. Thank you for those that have come before them and those that are stepping into new roles this afternoon. We give you all the praise for that. Continue to change us from the inside out. Continue to help us to lean into your work. Of course, we lift up those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who couldn't be here today. Lord, for some reason you put Tommy on my heart, and I just lift up Tommy Vancelon. We lift him up. We pray for healing. We pray for wholeness. We pray that you would bless Paula and her family. And Lord, we remember the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.